Hallelujah. Can we please put those hands together again and celebrate the ministry of Minister Diakor. God bless you, Mer. Thank you so very much. We honor the grace of God upon your life again. Amen. One more time, just turn to your neighbor and to your left and let him know that this is just for you. I want to congratulate you that you have been consistent in the past 4 days in being in the presence of God. Hallelujah. I'd like to very quickly acknowledge and welcome all those who are joining us online. I saw on YouTube over about 100 and something people. I don't know what the number is about now. Who are joining us on YouTube. We bless God for your life and we thank God and we know that you're already a part of the service and that just the same way we sense and we presence of God right here, that God's presence is with you right where you are. And to everyone who was here today, can you please put your hands together again for yourselves? I celebrate the grace of God upon every one of you. I know that something new has started in your lives in Jesus' name. You may please be seated in the wonderful presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. What a past 4 days it has been. Amen. You know, the Bible says that though an outward man may perish, it says that every day our spirit man is being renewed day by day. The renewal of our spirit man, although is not automatic, because you need to give yourself to consistent hearing of the word of God for your spirit man to be renewed. And that's why I said for everyone who has been consistent in the past 4 days, you can be rest assured and be guaranteed that your spirit man is growing from one level of glory to another level of glory. So you're getting younger and younger and younger in your spirit. Now in the physical, in your flesh, you might feel a bit weak, you might feel a bit tired because you've been coming out morning and evening, and then have little time to rest, and then you have to start preparing for the morning. But be rest assured that what you feel in your body is no way near or close to what you are, what's going on in your spirit. Amen. And you know, at the end of the day, because your spirit man is being renewed and quickened, your spirit man would overtake the flesh and release strength to your flesh in the mighty name of Jesus. I want to encourage you to go back and continue to listen and play the messages over and over again from Wednesday, from Thursday morning and evening, Friday morning and evening, and of course to this message, and listen to them until they become part and parcel of your subconscious mind, that it almost becomes a second nature to want to react and to do the things that you have heard. Remember, faith is not just hoping and desiring that things would happen. Faith is actually acting on what the principles of the Word of God says. Now, action is not something you pretend or you want to do. It's not wanting to do, it's automatic. So you take actions based on what you're thinking about. Am I speaking to someone? So once you begin to ingest those words and you begin to meditate on them over and over, and those words become part and parcel of you, it's just almost automatic for you to begin to act on the things that you have been hearing in the past few weeks. Amen? And I want to guarantee, according to the scriptures, that cannot be broken, that as long as you act on the word of God, God's word will surely be fulfilled in your life. It doesn't matter how much, you know, the enemy might gather against you or how much they might throw at you. Now, as long as God's word is in you, you would always prevail. Again, the second thing I want to say before we go into the word is the fact that the things you have been hearing, they are not letter. Especially in the last 2 days, they are not letter at all. They are spirit. And the Bible says it is the spirit that quickens, okay? But it said the latter kills, but the spirit is what gives life. That means that for the past 4 days, or thereabout, including today, life has been released into your spirit, and that life that has been released is continuing to quicken certain areas of your life. For some of you, it's your finances. For some of you, it's your health. For some of you, it's your business. For some of you, maybe it's even your body, your flesh, as it were. For some of you, it might be your family. But something is happening, and there's a stirring in the spirit. Amen. Like we had the first thing, you know, that certain times when you see the experience, what you don't understand is that there's something behind the experience, with like the wind and the water. It is the wind that blows on the water that causes turbulence in the water. But many times we focus on the water, forgetting about the fact that it is the wind that actually stirs the water. So in the spirit, something is being stirred up. It's only a matter of time you begin to seek the experience of what is being stirred up in the wind. In the spirit, because the spirit quickens and the spirit gives life. Jesus Christ said, the words I speak unto you. He said, what did they say? He says, they are what? They are spirits. And then they are what? They are life. Always remember, wherever the Spirit of God is present, there's a quickening power of the Holy Spirit. That's why in Romans chapter 8, the Bible says that he that spared not his own son, but freely or willingly gave him up for us all, how shall he not also with him what freely give us all things? Amen? So be rest assured that today everything has been freely given to you in the spirit. Am I speaking to someone? So please, as we go further into God's word, get your notes. Yeah? But do not just write. Listen, not just with your ears. Listen with your spirit. As you listen with your spirit, and the way you know you're listening with your spirit is the fact that something will be altered in your life, your character, your steps, your actions, your perspective, the way you see things will be altered, certainly, in Jesus' name. Even though I wasn't physically present here yesterday, but I've gone back and I've listened to the message. And I've been so blessed by the things that I heard, because a stirring has started and has begun in my spirit. And I can see that stirring is moving me into action, which is what we call faith. Amen? It has to move you into action. Until there's an action, then you haven't started believing and you really haven't heard. Somebody says, oh, you know, you keep repeating these things over and over again. Then I say the evidence that you have really heard it is that it has altered your action. Until you're not acting on it, then you really haven't heard it. Am I speaking to someone? So you can hear something 10 times, you can hear it 20 times, you can hear it 50 times. But as long as it's not affecting your actions, you really haven't heard. Because the moment you hear and you receive and assimilate that thing, it starts to affect your action. Sometimes we hear things once and immediately begins to affect our action. Sometimes you have to hear it over and over and over again, and then your actions is affected as a consequence of what you have heard. It's my prayer that by the time this conference is over, some of us, our actions will be altered according to the word of God, or in alignment with the word, such that that word would begin to quicken things around us. Amen? Amen. So again, get ready and just receive God's word. And I know that certain things would happen in your life in Jesus' name. Well, without further ado, let's stand to our feet. As we get ready to go straight into the Word of God to lead us in this morning's final session, let's receive someone whom I know that is specially graced and anointed to stir fires in the hearts of people. Let's welcome and put our hands together and receive Apostle Michael Oropo. Let's put our hands together for him as he comes. With Jesus' joy.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you ready? Thank you again, Pastor, for this privilege. Can you lift your hands toward heaven and talk to the Lord? When we walk with the Lord, in the light of His word, for the glory all our way. You know, when you were worshiping and ministering that song, the glory of the Lord came into the building. I wish you stayed there for a while. Can we do it again? Please. You know, there are moments in the spirit. Your ability to discern them is what gives you an edge. Life. Every moment is not the same. If you find that moment, it can alter 38 years of your life. Just a moment. He said, at a certain time, the angel of the Lord stirred the waters. That moment can change 38 years of your life if you can discern it. When she was singing that song, the glory of the Lord began to hover in the building. And I stood up immediately because I knew it was time to receive something. Can you?
I will walk with the Lord in the light of this world. What a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still. And to what? And to all who will trust and obey. Everybody say, trust and obey.
No
other way.
Trust and obey.
Trust and obey.
No other way.
There's
no other way.
To be happy.
To be happy in Jesus. But to trust and obey.
While we walk with the Lord in the light of this world. Come on, say, what a glory.
Everything happening now is prophetic. Because towards the end, the emphasis of God is to make sure that nobody misses out. And so He begins to bring prophetic instructions that will carry everybody along. He says, ask of me in the time of the latter rain. I will cause bright clouds and I will release rain on every blade of grass. The move of God in the last day will affect everyone. But there's a prophetic intelligence that makes that happen. And one of it is to trust and to obey. No wonder Pastor came up this morning and the emphasis was, if you have heard, it will move you to action. It's trust and obey. Don't just hear things and be excited. Hear things and do them. Because it's in doing them that the results are produced. And so everything you'll be hearing, even today, make sure there are action points that you will take to make these things become life and reality. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. We love you. We honor you. Bless us this morning again, as you've always done, and take all the glory. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Please be seated. It's been a great time in God's presence. I just want to highlight on four possibilities, four expressions of four things will become when we've had an encounter. I took out time to explain to us the purpose of an encounter or the purposes of encounters. I went further to outline the four kinds of encounters that we have. And then last night we spoke about the factors that provoke encounters. Because Many times when you are idle and hope that things will work, you'll be amazed at the latter end of your life that things don't just happen. Men make things happen. Nothing just happens. Things are made to happen. So it's always important when you have heard what to hear why. Why is what gives value to what? Because every what will not be worth it until there is a why that necessitates that what. And when you have heard why, it's also important to hear how. Because how is what makes it profit you personally. Many times, our teachings are not complete because we keep emphasizing what. If I tell you what and I don't tell you why, you may not value what. And if I tell you why and you value what, it may not profit you until I tell you how. Because how is what makes it personal to you. What is salvation is beautiful. But why do I need salvation? If I know why I need salvation, I now need to know how do I receive salvation. Because if I know what salvation is, it's glorious. Why do I need salvation? It's even more glorious. But if I don't know how to receive salvation, even though I know salvation is glorious, it will not profit me. So hows are always very important. So last night, we saw the laws of the spirit that provoke encounters. So we don't just talk about big encounters and we are stirred up. We need to know how we will walk into encounters and sustain encounters. And so just as a brief recap, I told us there were four or five purposes of encounters. The first is that encounters improve the quality of our lives. The reason is because man is falling. And until man begins to have encounters with God, he will not rise to that point that God designed him to walk in. When God began the project of man, God was creating himself. God was done. He was exhausted and finished with creation. All the dimensions of glory that you can imagine are captured in the angelic realm. And when God was done doing that, he decided to carry out another project. And the next project God carried out was the project of recreating himself. And so let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion. We have created angels in the order of light. We have created angels in the order of fire. We have created angels in the order of sound. But this time around, let's create something that is like ourselves, that can only be substantiated, understood, and known when you look upon us. So when God embarked on the project of creating man, he actually embarked on the project of creating himself. And that's why God had to hide the man in dust. Because if he allowed the man to walk around the way his reality is, you will see God walking on the street. And you may be tempted to begin to worship the man. So God decided to hide the man in dust, so that the glory and the excellencies of the man, unlike the angels, will not be bodily. Because when you see an angel, he carries his glory on his body. So there are certain angels that glow like the sun. There are certain angels that move like thunder. But the glory of man was hid inside of him. So it is in intimacy that that glory is manifested. It's until man takes off this earthly body that you will see the true substance of man. Because man is actually God in flesh. That was the plan of God. But when man fell, he reduced the quality of his existence. Because he had bowed to another spirit that is not God. So the only way God will restore man back to that glorious pedestal where he created him to walk was to begin to reveal himself to him. So when the man sees God, he will see himself. When he sees God, it becomes a channel of the spirit to bring in that man back to his reality. You know, when you don't see what you look like, you will not know what you can do. Many times, a man may just waste until he sees somebody like him making exploit. And then he says, if this person can do this, then I can do it. Because what that thing comes to do is to remind you who you are. There are many young people today that are beginning to get revived. Not just because we preach revival messages. But when they look at us, they try to estimate our age. And they say, wait, this guy is doing this thing. Ah, I can do it. So every time we show up, we remind them of who they are. Even before we begin to preach. And they are stirred up. And they begin to do great things. When God reveals himself to you, is to let you know that this is who you are. You are like me. And the more you see him, the more you become like him. That's why I said in 1 John 3 verse 2, it doth not yet appear what we shall be like, but when we shall see him, we shall be like him. So the goal of encounter is to make you become like God, because you were created in his image and in his likeness. So when God begins to bring encounters to us, is to improve the quality of our lives. When men don't have encounters, they will live as ordinary people, but we are not ordinary people. There is something about us. There is a God element in us, and until that God element is activated, life will not have meaning. So encounters come to activate the God element on our inside. Number two, encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. When we don't have a relationship with God, anything that is of value can become a God to us. A car can become a God to us. A job can become a God to us. Just anything can become a God. But when we have seen the glory of God, nothing can compare to it. We thank the Lord for all that is done for us, but he is our pursuit. Thank God for the job. Thank God for the influence. Thank God for the power. Thank God for the gift, the gifts of the Spirit. But God is our pursuit. He is our shield and our exceeding great reward. Because when we have seen him, we know that every other thing we have will just be a tool for facilitating our walk with him. Because he becomes our obsession. Having seen him, nothing compares to him. So encounters will reveal to us the vanity of life without God. Number three, encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. He said, before you were born, I knew you. I ordained you and I sanctified you to be a prophet unto the nations. So it will be difficult for you to find out the specific reason why you exist. There are many wisdom in this realm. There are many things dragging for your attention. There are many things you can do. There are many things you should do. But for you to find the exact purpose why you came into this world, it has to take the designer to tell you why you came. This phone I'm using can surf the internet. This phone I'm using has a touchlight. This phone I'm using, I can play songs in it. This phone I'm using, I can make calls with it. If I don't read the manual of this phone, I won't know the exact purpose for its creation. And I can have this phone and use it for touchlight. Imagine what a waste it would have been. That I have a phone like this and I'm using it for touchlight. I could easily just go get a touchlight for 500 naira. I don't need to use hundreds of thousands of naira to buy a touchlight. So if I get a phone like this and I'm using it for touchlight, when it can access the internet, it can make calls, I can use it to listen to messages and a lot of other things, and I'm just using it for touchlight. That means I need to consult the designer, because the phone is underrated and underused. That's what will happen to man if he doesn't have encounters. He will think he's a gossiper, and he will use his mouth just to talk about people. A mouth that should bless nations will be used to talk about people. When they say something is wrong here, he will sit down for 3 hours. And when he's done talking and exhaust talking, he will go to another place where something else is happening. He doesn't know why he came. That same mouth can be used to bet kings, to open doors to nations, but he has not discovered why he came. So he will waste it. A man who can change his generation can waste away if he doesn't have encounters. So when encounters come, they reveal to you purpose. And I said, purpose is the reason for your creation. And I said, calling is the strategy of God for fulfilling that reason for your creation. So there are two different things. One of them is why you came. The other is how you will achieve or realize why you came. These two things will be very distinct, and only God can reveal it to you. So when you have encounters, it will come to reveal purpose and calling. And then number four, I say encounters empower you to pioneer spiritual order and system in your world. Even if it's business, there is a way you can go about your business when a wisdom, a spirit, grants you access to wisdom. You will discover that that business is not just to survive. You can grow that business into a system because there is a wisdom that has come to you. It can be ministry. There are many people that have been in ministry for many years. They've not had encounters that reveal strategies of causing that ministry to bless nations. So even though they are very anointed, even though they are raising the dead, they are opening deaf ears, they are just in one location. And their impact is not so strong. Because an encounter will come to open up your spirit so that you can best strategies and wisdom that will make what you are doing not just be with you and in your small cycle. It will become something that blesses nations. It becomes a system. It becomes a government. So he said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country, out of thy kindred, out of thy father's house, to the land that I will show you, and in blessings I will bless you, and I will make of thee a great nation. So one man can become a nation in the premise of an encounter. Encounters come to make you a nation. Encounters come to make you a system. Encounters come to empower you to pioneer others that will benefit not just you and your family, but your whole generation. And number five, I say encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship. Because what man truly lost was fellowship. It's a privilege to have a walk with God. He said, blessed is the man whom God causes to approach him. In the realm of the spirit, in the realm of reality, not every angel walks in proximity with God. It's an honor. That's why when Gabriel came to Zacharias, he said, I am Gabriel that standeth in the presence of God. Not every angel stands in God's presence. It's a high honor in the spirit. When you get to the throne room, only cherubims get there. Not every angel can make an appearance in the throne room. It's an honor for fellowship with God to be granted a man. But you see, because we are on earth, we don't really know the things that matter. So a man is going to see the president, he will prepare for 1 week. Because he thinks it's an honor to be with the president. And he will not leave the presidency until he snaps. And the picture he snaps with the presidency, he will keep it for his grandchildren. That once upon a time, I shook hands with the president. I walked in the presidential corridor. He thinks it's a privilege because his evaluation of life is mundane. Is it an honorable thing to meet the president? Yes. And I'm not talking down on that any day, any time. But I'm telling you, there is a greater honor that we have. And the greater honor we have is that 24/7, morning, afternoon, evening, night, the Holy Spirit is with us. Because he has come to be in us and with us. The reason for that is because we had an encounter with Jesus in salvation. So encounter comes to restore your fellowship with God. And if you know that your fellowship with God has been restored, when you wake up in the morning, even before you greet your wife, you say, thank you, Jesus. When you go through the turbulence, whatever goes wrong, you say, thank you, Jesus. I know you are with me. And if you are with me, it's enough. The greatest insurance of your life will not be the person that promised you heaven and earth. It will be the God that will always abide with you forever. So even if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death like David, there is one thing you know. My God is with me. And if God is with you, nothing can pull you down. Because if God be for us, who can be against us? So encounters produce lifelong insurance policies and systems because encounters restore fellowship with God. The reason we know we will not fail is not because a man promised us something. The reason we know we will not fail is because we know God is with us. The reason you know your marriage will not fail is not because the person you married is too reasonable. The reason you know your marriage will not fail is because God told you to marry that person and God is with you. So every aspect of your life, there is peace, there is rest. Not because you have heaven and earth, but because God is with you. And if God is with you, then heaven is there. These assurances come when we begin to have encounters. You know, many times when you walk through life, you will go through turbulences, terrible ones. But the reason you will be assured is because you know God is with you. Many times friends will leave you. Trusted allies will leave you. They will lie against you. They will betray you. They will try to discredit you. When you go back home, sometimes there is nobody to talk to. There are times when you get to certain junctions in life, there's nobody to talk to. You look left, you look right. You can't even trust the people around you anymore. Because everybody around you either is there for something or has betrayed you. When you come to those junctions, how will you walk through it? You know there is God with you. There is a God that will never leave you alone. He will never leave you alone. This assurance is what brings meaning to life. You are like Mount Zion that cannot be moved because God is with you. So encounters come to restore experiential fellowship with God and gives us an assurance that nothing can bring us down in this life. I tell people many times, there is only one being that makes man. His name is God. He said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion. It's God that makes men. And when God wants to make you, he can use your servant to make you. He can use your master to make you. He can use your enemy to make you. Sometimes when your enemies are fighting you, they are strengthening you. It looks as if they are strengthening you. God will use your enemy to make you. And when you come out of that battle, you become 10 times better than you ever were. But the only way you will go through that battle and keep your focus is when encounters are happening. So you will know that this is not my end. Even this one will pass. Even this one will pass, and you keep moving. If we know that encounters are this significant, then we will pay the price to have them. If we know the quality of our life is dependent on the quality of our encounters, if we know that our insurance and assurance in life is based on encounters, if we know that our relationship with God is based on encounters, if we know all of these things, then we will have need for encounters every day of our lives, because it defines everything about us. And so, having said that, I began to talk to us about the laws that provoke encounters. And I said the first law that provokes encounters is the law of seeking God with all your heart. And I told us yesterday, in these matters, you can't deceive God. Because when you seek something with all your heart, God knows how you go about it. Even if you are not quoting scriptures, he knows. And I gave us some very funny examples yesterday. When you were looking for a contract and you were seeking that contract with all your heart, you could be up till 4 a.m. in the morning. When you are looking at trying to impress that lady, you could be on call with her till 2 a.m. in the morning. Some of us are fathers now, so it's been a while. It's been a while. Maybe 20 years ago, you could trek 10 kilometers just to talk to the lady for 5 minutes. And even while trekking to that place, you were not sure you will meet her. Maybe she went to the stream to fetch water. But you will still pay the price to trek 10 kilometers. And when you come, you will wait for another 4 hours. And maybe when she was passing from the stream, I'm talking about the fathers now, because they did their own 20 years, 30 years ago. We did ours yesterday. Ours were on phone calls. Theirs was 30 years ago. So they will trek for 10 kilometers, and sometimes she's passing from the stream. And then they say, how you doing so far? Say, I caught a rabbit, take. The rabbits that they labored in the forest for 7 hours to catch. Maybe he set a trap. He set a trap for 2 weeks. When he caught the rabbit, he now carried the rabbit and trekked for 10 hours and came and waited for 4 hours. And when he saw the lady for just 5 seconds passing from the street, he said, take this rabbit. Make sure you eat it. Make sure you eat it. That's called seeking with the whole of your heart. So when you are seeking God with the whole of your heart, he knows the way you operate. So he will wait. Is it the way the energy you dispense when you were seeking that lady? If you have not hit that energy level, you have not started. Because I know when you seek something with the whole of your heart. You come to church, you put something small. But when you are trying to win a contract, even the person that needs to take the file to the office, you say, what do you want? Take. But when it comes to God, comportment doesn't work in this one. He will check you to find out that everything about you is dispensed. Now, if you will seek God like that, there's no way you won't find him. He will reveal himself to you. That's why Jeremiah 29 verse 13 says, if you seek him with the whole of your heart, he will reveal himself to you. Number two, I said, the second law of encounter is the law of prayer. In 1 Kings chapter 19 verse 11, he said, go stand on the mountain and I will show myself to you. And the posture of standing is the posture of prayer. So every man that is given to prayer is a man that walks in the realm of encounters. The reason everything is new to us and everything is rhema is because we don't travel in the spirit. When you begin to participate in that realm by laboring in prayer, many things they say, you will know it. Even when they bring prophetic word to you, it will be normal because they are confirmations. Not everything will be new. You don't receive 10 prophecies and all of them are new. Where have you been? Those prophetic words came from the Spirit. How come you've not picked anyone? It means you are not doing business there. And for a believer who truly knows God, he knows that his way of life is the way of prayer. They say men ought, not should. Men ought always to pray. They are very powerful words. Men ought. Number one, it means if you are a man. They don't know, maybe you are something else, but if you say you are a man, the second thing is that you ought, you should, you must pray. And you don't just pray, always. Because he knows that the way the system is designed, your advantage is weaved in the Spirit. That's why he said he has given us every blessing, but they are in the Spirit. So for you to have an advantage in life, as a man, you must always pray and refuse to faint. So a man who is not praying is not prayerless. He is fainting. But a man who is praying is walking in all the advantages that are in the Spirit. So every time a man makes prayer his lifestyle, it will be natural for him to walk in the realm of encounters. He will collide with God. He will collide with angels. He will collide with patriarchs. It will be normal. You know, I've been careful throughout these sessions not to talk about my encounters. Because there are certain encounters you have. If you say it without permission, you will be endangered. There are certain encounters you have. It's not even for that era. Because the spirit realm is not governed by time. You can enter the spirit realm now and you'll be taken to the civilization of 100 years to come. If you start saying it, people will call you a heretic. Get up. You are wrong. Because they will be trapped in doctrine. They don't know the spirit realm is bigger than doctrine. It's bigger than theology. You can't capture the spirit realm in theology. Thank God for theology, but what we are talking about is a word. So Enoch, who was 7 after Adam, has already entered rapture. And Enoch entered heaven with his body. He didn't die. He knows transubstantiation and transfiguration by encounters. When a man begins to pray, nothing is impossible to him. Because the realm of the spirit becomes his place of dwelling. So, one of the laws of encounter is the law of praying always. When you pray always, naturally, you will have encounters. Naturally. It's not, you don't need an impartation, you don't need a prophecy to have it. Because prayer is a migration from earth to heaven. And it's a download of heavenly realities to earth. There is no way you will make prayer your life and you will not walk in encounters. This is not about an apostle or a prophet. This is about a believer that wants to have advantage in life. So he knows that his advantage is not earthly, it's spirit. And he will engage that realm until that realm opens to him. This is the way of encounter. It's a law in the spirit that if a man doesn't give himself to prayer, he cannot have encounters. It will be very difficult, even if he does, to be once in a while. The Bible said in Genesis 18 verse 1 that Abraham sat at the gate of the tent in Mamre. He was a posture of prayer. And when God was passing, even though God deliberately disguised himself, the man knew. This is not a man. So there are men that have explored the spirit realm so much that sometimes, because they won't let God pass to visit another person, God will have to disguise himself. Because so many other people are sleeping. God came to your neighborhood to visit you, but you are sleeping. But there's another man that has a mast. So even if God doesn't come for him, he knows how to drag God to his house. Come in, sir. Come in. I didn't come for you. I'm going to Sodom, but you must pass here. You must pass here. Meanwhile, there's somebody else. He is asleep. Even when God comes to his house and is knocking, come next week. Come next week. But another man, unless God doesn't pass through the neighborhood, he will catch him in the spirit like a mast. Even if God disguise himself and become a man, he will say, I know you. I know you. I know you. I've been here for long. For long. They can find God. The Bible said in Exodus 20:21 that Moses stepped into the deep darkness where God was. God did no longer reveal himself the way he would do. He hid himself. Moses still located him. That's a man of prayer. You can't keep anything from them. If you like, hide it in heaven. They will go and take it. because they know the way there. The second law of encounter is the law of praying always. The third law of encounter is the law of service. There is no way you will do business in the sanctuary or in the altar that you will not collide with God, because God dwells here. Every time you see a man serving God, that's a man who has set himself up for encounters. When a man becomes far from service, God will become far from him. Because one of the places where you meet God is where you obey his commandment. Where you serve him, that's where God is. You are looking for where God is where men are serving him. So there is no way a man serves God and encounters will be a drought for him. The Bible said Samuel was in the temple. Now, hear what he said in 1 Samuel chapter 3 from verse 1. He said, in those days, the voice of God was cast. There were no open visions. In those days, the voice of God was cast. There were no open visions. So even though God was nowhere to be found, a man knew where to find God. So when they served God in church, Samuel remained there. One day, God came and began to call him. The same God that was cast called Samuel 3 times, and God will not go. When a man begins to serve, God becomes obligated to walk with him, because that man has made God his priority. He said, because you have made God, even the Most High, your habitation. So service is a way of making God your habitation. You give your all to God. So when you want to find the fullness of a man who serves God, he is in God's assignment. When a man is giving to God like that, encounters will be natural to him. So even though Samuel was not an experienced priest, even though Samuel was a little boy, the demographics of the spirit that were considered was not age, it was not experience. It was who was serving with a perfect heart. And the moment God found a little boy serving with a perfect heart, God came to him. Samuel! He thought it was Eli. He didn't even know God. He didn't know all the spiritual, complex spiritual things that we know today. You know, in our generation, we know very bogus spiritual things. And we say them so bogusly. But our heart is not in service. So we just want to come and shine. When they say somebody should clean the church, you are looking for the people that are qualified to clean. When they say somebody should please pick something there, you are never the one. It must be somebody else. When it's service, it has to be somebody else. But when they want to talk about those who have rank, or they want to talk about reward, we come forward first. Jesus said the greatest of them all is the servant of all. We don't know how to serve. That's why encounters are scarce. Number four, the fourth law of encounter is the law of reverence. The law of the fear of the Lord. When God sees a man that reverences him, God wants to visit that man. He said the secret of the Lord, Psalm 25 verse 14, is with them that fear him. He will show them his covenants. Every time God begins to reveal things to a man, it's his heart posture. There are many people that think because of this and that, they are the ones who qualify to receive from God. That's why they never see God. They never receive from God. Because when God wants to visit a man, he checks his heart. He doesn't check his competence primarily. His competence is necessary for service. But his heart is what attracts God. When you want to know God, you must come to a place of brokenness. I know I'm the preacher, but I will never think that I'm better than anybody. I know I'm the man on the altar, but I don't think the guy at the ushering position, I don't think I'm better than him. All of us are serving in different places. And if I need to do what that young man is doing, I will do it with all of my heart. I didn't graduate from ushering to preaching. I was just relocated in service. It's a posture of the heart that attracts the Spirit of God. The day you think you are something, you know, even in the throne room, the most ranking angels, their posture is the posture of lying down. Because they make that as an insurance policy, never to become high-minded, because they have learned the lesson that happened to the cherubim. He said, Lucifer said in his heart, I will exalt my throne. You will exalt your throne. So where you are, you think you are better than others. The moment you become high-minded, a problem comes. He said to King Saul, he said, when you were small in your own heart, did I not make you king? Nothing provokes encounter like a heart of humility, a heart of brokenness, a state of perfect brokenness, where a man doesn't think that is anything. Everything he is by the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. Remove the grace of God from me, I'm nothing. That is the heart God looks for. When he sees a broken generation, he becomes obsessed about that generation. When God sees a humble man, he becomes obsessed about that humble man. He can commit himself to that man. But when God sees a proud man, he says, God resists the proud. He will push him aside. Even if he's on a 70 days dry fast, God will push him aside. Even if he's on a 150 days dry fast, he will have no encounter. Because the goal is not God. He wants to come out tomorrow and say, some of us have paid the price. Have you fasted for 90 days before? I've fasted for 150 days. Do you think what's happening here is a small matter? You are not serious. He wants to carry the fast. The fasting will become his doctrine. He will fast like that. When he finishes fasting, if God doesn't help him, he will end up with ulcer. But you see certain men, while they are just walking in the market, an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And then you are wondering, why does God love this man so much? No, the fragrance of his heart is going to heaven every morning. It's a fragrance. There's something about his heart. There's something about his heart. That's why he said, men look at the outward, but I, the Lord, I see the heart. He said, I search the heart. In Jeremiah 17 verse 10, I try the reins to give unto every man as his way should be. One of the greatest risks of growing in spiritual things is pride. You can lose everything you have labored for in a moment because you allowed pride for a second. We must always, that's why I say, guard your heart with all diligence. Guard your heart. Our generation, we are full of ourselves. We are so full of ourselves, so full of ourselves. And that's why God has become scarce. You can't encounter God if you are high-minded. If he comes, who is the Lord? Somebody is, he wants to encounter the Lord. Say, Lord, when are you coming? This thing must happen this week. Well, a day can be 1,000 years. So this week can be 7,000 years. A king, when you know how heaven works, you will fear God. You will fear God. Those who are closer to God tremble more. Because they've seen his glory. They fear him. They tremble at his presence. And when you want to see God, your heart must be perfect, broken and humble before the Lord. Even when you don't qualify, God will choose you because he can trust you. There are many people who have qualified, but they are high-minded. So even when they are calling on the name of the Lord, he's resisting them. He's resisting them. But there are those who are not yet qualified. He's giving grace because they are humble. He's fast-tracking their process. In another person has fasted for 10 years, God is still resisting him. Somebody else came 3 months ago, now he's already doing exploit. And then you are saying, what's going on? The equation is in the heart. One is humble, the other one is proud. Did you not see the parable that Jesus told? The Pharisee came to pray and knelt down. He said, I keep my offering. I fast regularly. I pray. I've done all that you want. With so much pride. He said, the other man came, he could not as much as look into heaven. He said, who was forgiving more? Even if that man goes home, God will follow him home. Because he has done something that has attracted God. And every time a man is proud, he reminds God of the Luciferous rebellion. You want to walk in encounters, your heart must be down. Must be humble. If not, you will pray, you will still not see God. You will fast, you will not encounter God, because he will resist you because of your heart. The last law of encounter is the law of obedience. In John chapter 14 verse 23, he said, they that love me will keep my word, and I and my Father will come and make our abode with him. So when a man is quick to obey God, that is a man that has attracted God's attention. When God speaks to you, how quick do you obey him? It may not look good. It may not look palatable. But are you quick in obeying God? If you are quick in obeying God, it's a testimony that you love him. And if you do, he didn't say, I will visit him. He said, I am my Father. That's one. It's not just Christ. He said, I am my Father. Number two, he didn't say I will visit. He said we will make our abode with him. So there are those who encounter God. There are those who live in the realm of God. God will not just visit and go. He will live with you. Because he has found you a man that obey him and you are faithful in all of his words. When you want to encounter the Lord, you must learn how to quickly obey God's voice. If you can obey God, then you can be rest assured that God is with you. He said to them to go out and preach the word to all nations. And in Mark 16:20, he said they went. The commandment was what? Go into all nations. And he said what? They went. And he said the Lord was with them. He was walking with them. The God that is with will always be with the one that obeys. If you want God to abide with you, if you want to always encounter God, then you must obey every instruction he gives you. Sometimes it looks very simple. Very simple. Very simple. But we are looking for the complex things. We are finding out what is the mystery of ascending in the spirit. How do I migrate from earth to Zion? And then you say, it's by chanting for 10 hours. And then you go and chant. When you finish chanting for 10 hours, as you are coming out, he said, give that old woman the money you have in your pocket. You close your, you put your earpiece and increase the volume. That's where you have chanted, but the key to ascension, you have thrown it away. Sometimes you just, as you come out from that place, that person that you are keeping malice with, he said, go to the person's house now and say you are sorry. And I say, wait, I know who I am. I was not wrong. She was at fault. I've tried many times. She doesn't want to. So, I don't have time for such nonsense. What you call nonsense is the doorway to heaven. Go there and say you are sorry. He didn't ask who is right or who is wrong. The only thing that came was a commandment. Meanwhile, you have quoted 40 scriptures when you were praying. And you were quoting it non-stop. Now that you have finished quoting, the oracle has uttered his voice. And then you disobey the one you didn't quote. You can't see him. That's why spiritual things sometimes dribble many people. They've cramped some things and they are doing it meticulously. But they violate the movements of the spirit. And they don't know why things never work. Things never work. God sent you to Abuja. You choose Lagos. Because the last time you checked, all your friends are in Lagos. If you go to Lagos, you don't need an auditorium. If you go to Lagos, there are people already on ground. There are men on ground. God is not working with the men on ground. He said, your sons and your daughters will come from afar. Strangers will stand to build your walls. I'm not looking at the men on ground. I have my own men for this assignment. And we don't know why things don't work. So the law of obedience, it's one of the most potent law of encounters. I'm showing you why you see some people pray, they have encounters. Others never prayed, yet they have encounters you've not had. And then you are wondering why. Some of them is because of their heart posture. Somebody is praying, but his heart posture is wrong. He never encounters God. Another person is not even praying yet. God is the one encountering him and telling him, begin to pray now. Begin to pray. And God will come 3 times. And he's not yet ready. But his heart will keep attracting God. Another man has lived on prayer until his name is not Prayo. But he has still not encountered God. And he's wondering. Now, maybe it's 10 years later that he's finally broken and God encounters him. He now goes out. He will not know that he took 10 years because he was hardened. He will now come and say, before you encounter God, you have to pray in tongues for 7 years. No. You don't pray in tongues for 7 years or for 10 years to encounter God. Because there are children who are encountering God today. Children. Who don't know, who don't speak in tongues. There's a law of prayer, but there's also a law of humility. A law of brokenness. There's a law of obedience. You need to know all of this. You know the Bible says, cast thy bread upon the waters. You will find them after many days. Give a portion to 7. Give a portion to 8. Sometimes you need to understand the spectrum of reality so that you will know how to deploy all of them, because you don't know the one that produces results. I know you have grace in praying, but you are praying, things are not happening. Could it be that you are high-minded? Could it be that you are high-minded? that your prayer seemed not to be working. Could it be your heart? Every time you are lofty in your thinking, could it be your heart that is stopping you? Okay, you are humble. Could it be your disobedience? God has given you 10 instructions. You've not kept one. Could that be the reason? So you check and you find out, and then you x-ray yourself along the lines of revelation. So that by all means, this thing will work now. And it's better it works when you are young. The reason is because we live once. So you cannot be an experiment. It must work once. And it must work well. Because when you leave tomorrow, you will never get there again. Forever and ever is gone. So what you do today must work. Because you don't have too much to do trial and error. Everything you do must work. Because this life is lived once. And I told myself, I must find out what works and give myself to it. Because I don't want to go to eternity and I'm told that if you did it like this, you would have been on this throne. Like Judas. He lost his throne because he took the wrong path, the path of perdition. I will never make that mistake. So while I'm on earth, I will pay the price to know what works. And when I know it, I will give myself to it. Some of you will leave this conference, and what you need to do is to tell God to help you. I'm too proud. It's within. It's not earthly disposition. You can be bending for everybody, but you are proud here. You may need to leave the conference and say, Lord, help my heart. Help my heart. Help my heart. Please help my heart. I'm too high-minded. I was listening to God's servant, Bishop David Oyedepo. He said, many ladies are not married today because no man is good enough for them. When you come, they look at you like this. They are looking for a movie star that comes like a prince. They miss their calling. They miss the person God sends to them. You need to tell God, help my heart. I've been praying, help my heart. I'm high-minded. I don't want my heart to stand in the way. There are many things you want to give to me. I refuse to be the impediment. Help my heart. Some of us will go and tell the Lord, give me grace to obey you completely and quickly. Because there is complete obedience and there is quick obedience. Could this be why the ministry is not working? That all the things you've told me, I either didn't do them when you said I should do them, or I refuse to do them. Help me to obey you. Because these things, they work. They don't fail. They don't fail. And finally, this morning, when you truly have an encounter, four things will happen to you. You will become four things. You know, the first encounter with Jesus activates eternal life, salvation. You can't be saved until you have encountered Jesus. He is the author of salvation. Peter preaching said, there is not salvation in any other. When a man encounters God, or encounters his son, Jesus, he receives salvation. He's saved. He said, if you believe in me, John 5:26, you have passed from death to life. He didn't say you will pass. He said you have passed from death to life. Because when you encounter Jesus, he credits salvation into your spirit. In 1 John 5:11-13, he said, these things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. He said, for the life is in the Son, and he who has the Son has life. He's telling you this because you may not feel like it. So he said, he's writing to you to know that when you met Jesus and called him Lord of your life, there was something credited into your spirit. It's called eternal life. So everyone that have met Jesus receives eternal life. There are three encounters we have with Christ. The first one produces salvation. I'm telling you things that affect everybody. So that whether you are an apostle or a prophet or a businessman or a lecturer, doesn't matter. If you have encountered Jesus, you will receive eternal life. That life makes you an heir in the realm of God. The second encounter you have with Jesus gives you a responsibility in the kingdom. That responsibility can be in the fivefold. And it can be in the ministry gifts. But if you have not encountered Jesus or had that second encounter, you may not even think it's necessary to serve in the house of God. That's why there are many believers who don't think they should work for God. In fact, when you are persuading them, especially if you are a pastor, thank God for pastors. I tell you, pastors labor more than all the fivefold ministers. Because sometimes the pastor is the one who comes to beg you on behalf of God. We will come to set men on fire and go away. So we don't even pay attention who is following, who is not following. When we come with energy, the energy of heaven. And when we release that energy, it will convict people. Those who are not convicted, we may not notice. We will go and go to another location and break the ground and move. So our job is to bring government. We come to a territory, we open it up, and we go. The people who labor to gather are pastors. And many times, they are trivialized. The pastor calls you, you say, God, I won't pick now. I'm busy. You don't pick your pastor's call, but you are trying to reach an apostle for 6 months. The one that came and left, he doesn't have your time, I assure you. If he picks that call by mistake, he will just be diplomatic. How are you? God bless you. The Lord will do it. The Lord will do it. God will honor his word because he's a servant. But trust me, he doesn't have your time. Because the burden in his heart is to open territories. When he comes into a territory, he shines like a prince. When he's done and he leaves, he forgets. You are laboring. You say, hey, he spoke with me. When you meet him on the road tomorrow, he won't know you. And Sister Martha, God bless you. Why you honor the man invited? Love your pastor. Honor him. Serve him. Respect him. He is the bishop of your soul. He's not the guest minister. When God wants to probe the shepherd over your soul, that's the man. Can I assure you? The man who kneels down to pray for this assembly is not the one that was invited. That one that was invited, he prayed once. And his prayer is, Jesus, glorify yourself. Because he came to deliver. When he goes, he's gone. The one that will sit and call your name and say, Lord, reveal yourself to this one, is the shepherd over the house. Some people, when you come for meetings like this, they package their seed and they are running. They are standing on the road. Protocol say, don't go, go. They say, no, man of God, sir, man of God, please, take this seed, take this seed, take this seed. But they've not sold to their pastor in the last 4 years. You are joking, oh. He will take the seed, he may not even remember to pray. When the apostle doesn't take the seed, they will feel bad. Oh God. Oh God. This apostle didn't take the seed. What will happen to me now? So you think it's by taking the seed that your life will change? Come on. He said, if you give a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. We are not negating scripture, but I'm telling you where true assurance is. And so the pastor will advise you. He said, you know, you need to go out for soul winning. You need to come for the vigils. And because some people have not had the second encounter, they don't think it's necessary to serve God. They've had the first encounter and received salvation. But salvation will not give you reward in eternity. It's the second encounter you have with Jesus that will give you reward in eternity. Because the second encounter with Jesus recruits you into service. God will either recruit you into the office, fivefold ministry, to function as an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, or a teacher, or he will recruit you into the ministry offices, the ministry of helps, the ministry of administration, the ministry of exhortation, the ministry of there are many of them, the ministry of the psalmist. Different kinds of ministries in the body of Christ. The teaching ministry, where you teach in the local assembly. All of this, the ministry of deliverance. And then he brings you to a place where you are walking in the house of God. Sometimes God brings you to the ministry of helps. And nobody is giving you an honorarium. Nobody is calling you a kingdom star. They will look at some people and say, these are the God's generals. And then you now feel like, am I not a God's general? It's when we go to heaven that you know the true God's generals. Some of the true God's generals, they mop the church all their lives. They didn't preach a message. But the reason you came to church and you could sit comfortably is because nobody knew them. That seat you are sitting on, they clean it every day. Those are the, I don't want to say they are the real God's generals, but those type of God's generals, their throne in heaven is great. No man claps for them. No man knows them. No man comes to give them ovations or honor them. It's only God that honors those kinds of God's generals. They are sweepers. They have encountered Jesus. So even if they are sweeping and pastor say, get up! Why didn't you do this thing on time? I'm sorry, sir. They continue because they know they are not serving pastor. They have encountered Jesus. It's Jesus they are serving. Pastor can't stop them from doing it. Neither will pastor's motivation change their mind. So whether you remember to thank them or not, they've had an encounter. I'm not talking about those who are trying to do eye service. No. When a man encounters Jesus the second time, he puts a burden of service in his heart. There are some that every Saturday, they go out and win souls. Give them transport fare and say, come to church. Come to church. All of us here were one. They didn't give birth to you and you say, you were so wise and say, if I don't choose Jesus, I will go to hell. No, nobody was that wise. Somebody had to win you. And that person who won you received a burden for service. So you have become part of the stars that will be on his crown. Because there is a crown that God gives to men who serve him. That is a second kind of encounter. Encounters that provoke a body. You know, sometimes when we talk encounter, it's not just about breakthrough. It's about rank in the world to come. And the encounter that gives you the rank in the world to come is an encounter that provokes service. Some people are called into the ministry of giving. So every time they find out something is happening, they give. Not because they have money, but because they have the heart. Men don't give because they have money. They give because they have the heart. They've had an encounter. So every time there's a program, they give. Whether there's no program, they give. They come to even ask, is there a need? And they keep giving. You don't need a message to get them to give. They've had an encounter that they are sponsors of kingdom agenda. And many times when they look at something, it may not even be in that sanctuary where they worship, but they see something and they know that God is on this matter. They will go and give to it. It's an encounter. If you don't have that kind of encounter, you can't give. And even if you give, you can't give your all. But I tell you, there are many people that are not happy until they've given their all. And then you are wondering, is it wise? No, it's not wise. It's a service. And a service is a commandment. You don't do it because it's wise or it's not wise. You do it because you are commanded to. So when a man encounters Jesus the second time, he puts a burden of service in his heart. There are some ministries, even like this one. You come to church, you see a bank manager stand at the door, say, welcome, sir. Meanwhile, you who is still a 300 level student, you say, yeah, how are you doing? Hey, God, good morning, how are you doing? You don't know that it's an encounter that kept him there. Sometimes you are coming to church. Ah, is this not the senator I saw yesterday at the door? Good morning, sir. Good morning, sir. There's no way a senator will call you, sir, unless an encounter has compared you. So when he comes to church, he's giving envelopes. He's giving. When service finished, he's driving you home. You now sit as guest minister. You don't know who is driving you, sir. You need revelation. But you see, that's where the beauty of the body of Christ is. That men have had the second kind of encounter with Jesus. And they count themselves as nothing before him. Because they know the path that Jesus pioneered. He said, even though he was equal with God, he considered it not robbery to be equal with God. He stripped himself of divinity. And he gave himself to serve God and obey him. And he died the death, even the death of a criminal. And he said, because he has done that, the Lord gave him a name that is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. Now, the reason we don't have rank in the kingdom is because we've not had that second encounter. When you don't have that second encounter, you will think serving God is all about yourself. No, it's not about you. It's about Jesus. That is the encounter that removes you to the place of a servant. And when you come there, until Jesus smiles, you are not satisfied. And so you can do anything. You don't need somebody else's motivation to do it. They may say, 5 people or 10 people clean the chairs in church. And then when you come, they say, yes, pastor, we will. And when you eventually come to clean the church, you will find only 3. The people who told pastor, pastor, don't worry, we will be there. They will not come. You now will come and say, hey, we are 10. So, where are the 10? Only 3 will come, because it's 3 that had encounter. The other 7 didn't have encounter. They want to make pastor feel that they are walking. Pastor doesn't have eternal reward. Pastor will only coach you into eternal reward. It's Jesus that has eternal reward. So he will see the ones that came. And then when time comes, they are watching a movie, they will just send you a text. I'm so sorry, I'm in a meeting now. I can't make it this Saturday. I'll see you next Saturday by God's grace. By God's grace. Who are they in a meeting with? They are in a meeting with a movie star. And they are sipping coffee. And then on Sunday they come to church and say, we love you, Lord. You do. But there's no reward for you. You need to have the encounter that brings men to the altar of service for you to have eternal reward. Let's go for evangelism. Yes, all of us will go. When pastor shows up on Saturday, a church of 2,000, you will now see 15 people going for evangelism. Oh, pastor, I'm so sorry. Something came up. Things will come up on earth, but when you go to eternity, nothing will come up. All the things that came up will not come up again. It's your crown that will not come up. You will look for your crown. They will say, sorry, something came up. I'm telling you, it's only by encounter that we know these things. Because when pastor is telling you, you may think, this pastor said, it's not easy. You will not know. But when God himself encounters you, even in the rain, he will do it happily. In the sun, he will do it happily. So when we preach on subjects like this, we trust God to give men encounters. Because when men truly have encounters, our work will be reduced. Have you not seen people laboring under the rain as though something is pushing them? It's a personal encounter. They were not motivated to do it. They know that that service is unto the Lord. And there are others that know if it's not comfortable, they won't do it. They've not had an encounter. The challenge with such people is that they are forfeiting their eternal crown, their eternal glory, and their eternal excellences. Because the reason God gives you the encounter for service is to prepare you for the glories of the world to come. So men who have had that encounter, the way you see it, is not by light appearing on their head. It's by the depth of their service. You can't explain why a man who is a king by every right is an usher in church. It's not possible. There's no way to explain it. There are many things he can do, but it's an encounter that will take him there. So when you see such a man, he's not just humble. There is a word of the Lord that has come to him. He said, the Lord appeared to Samuel again in Shiloh. The Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. When you see young people who have not, they have nothing to their name, yet feeling as if they are walking on heaven, they've not had encounters. Even if they talk about it, they are playing. They don't even know what they are saying. When a man truly has encounter, he becomes a living sacrifice. So the first thing that happens to you when you have the second encounter after salvation is that you become a living sacrifice. Your life is no longer your own. You submit that life to Jesus Christ. And anything Jesus tells you to do, you will do it happily. You don't wait for men's applause to be excited. You are happy because you are doing what God says to do. That's the only time you can smile in pain. Because that smile doesn't come from a biochemical reaction. It came from a knowing that you are serving a spirit. The body of Christ needs the encounter that produces service. Because we are coming to that point when it's becoming more difficult to serve the Lord. And there are many countries of the world today that if you go, it's only old men that come to church. You know, we are in Africa, you may not understand. Because here, people are still coming to church hoping that God will bless them. So when they are doing things, it's because, Lord, I've mobbed the church. Please, give me a fruit of the womb. Now I've mobbed the church. It's beyond it. Because even after you give birth, you will still mob the church. Because beyond the fruit of the womb, there's a crown in eternity. If you are mopping the church to receive the child, that's good. But it's beyond it. If you are mopping the church to get a job, that's good. But it's beyond it. Even after you get the job, the reward is not the job. The reward is something in eternity that cannot be bought. Something that is eternal and immortal. And the church and the body must step into that level of encounter where they realize that the beauty of life is in serving the Lord. And they will pour their lives as a drink offering. The third encounter you have with Jesus makes you three things, four things. I will not expound on it because time is up. But I will just mention it and the Lord will give us understanding. After you have the encounter of service with Jesus, there are certain things in the kingdom that is not a gift. Men grow into it. So when you find that corridor of service, you will begin to walk in the fullness of those four things. Meanwhile, those four things are the primary things God had in mind for man when he began to create man. The first is that you become a king. A king, not just by designation, but by the fact that certain levels of authority will become attendant to you in your service to God. The things you did before, you will discover that you are doing it now and there is authority. Maybe God called you to teaching and you were faithful teaching 10 people for 3 years. And then suddenly, an encounter comes that makes you a king. Now when you are teaching, men that you are teaching, they are not just understanding you. What you are teaching them, they become it. So when you teach on prosperity, people will now return and say, sir, I just thought of something, I did it, and I won a grant of 100 million. Your teaching now is beginning to be backed with authority because you have become a king in that world. There's an authority that has come because the grace of God that comes with righteousness comes with the power to enthrone as king. He said, if by one man's offense, Romans 5:17, all die, he said, how much more they that receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign. The word reign there is the word to king in life, to walk with royal powers. And in Ecclesiastic 8:4, he said, where the word of the king is, there is power. Who can say unto him, what doest thou? Suddenly, you discover that when you speak, circumstances change. What has happened? You have been enthroned. In Christ, you are a king, but it will take that encounter for you to walk in it. The experience comes with an encounter. When you have had the encounter of service, there's another encounter that Jesus grants you that makes you a king. You will be a preacher, but there will be something about you. When you talk, men are set on fire. When you talk, demons are expelled. What is happening? You have become a king. You may be a worshiper, but when you worship, men are carried to heaven. When you worship, doors open for men. And a point will come, men will discern that when they heard your song, favor rubbed off on them. So you are not just singing a song. You are emitting spiritual fragrances because you have received authority to activate favor. So when you sing, you are emitting favor. The reason is because a scepter has been given to you. You may be a politician and then suddenly you receive authority. And your authority may be favor. It may be wisdom. When you come to speak, people have no choice. They follow you. When they see you, they just want to serve you. What is going on? The Bible said daily, men joined themselves to David until his host became like the host of God. He didn't begin there, but he received that encounter and a scepter was given to him. Many times, we fail in the service encounter. That's why we don't receive the encounter that makes us kings. When a man is growing in the corridors of encounter, a day comes when he becomes an authority in whatever he does. That means that man has become a king. Because God made you a king in Christ, but he expects you to live out your kingship. encounters will make you live out your kingship, and you will be amazed that so much authority is given to you in what you do. You may be a businessman, and suddenly everybody in the city is looking for you. What have you done? You have not done anything exceptionally different, but you have received the scepter. So there is something about your boutique. There is something about your eatery. There is something about your consultancy. It's a scepter. And people will travel from far and wide to look for you. Not because you will say heaven and earth. Sometimes when men come to you, you are so tired. You just say it is well. The Lord bless you. They go back and they're happy that they met you in the first place. There is a scepter. And if that scepter comes, you may not even kneel down and pray for the person. But if you say, it is well. It is well will not be a cliche. The person will go and it will indeed be well. Because you have become a king. That's why you see that in this ministry, when men grow, they begin to calm down. Because they are entering authority. We who are young now, when we are preaching, we are moving like this. We are trying to stir the anointing. But when these men grow, they don't need a stirring. They can just stand and say, you know, the Lord loves you. And because the Lord loves you, you are blessed. So in the name of Jesus, you are blessed. You may not feel fire, but when you go, the results and the outcome of your life, you will know that indeed you are blessed. I went to a meeting by Reverend Dr. Omar Pa, and he came. He sang a song, and laughed. And when he finished, he said, God, we taught 400 people. I said, the atmosphere is still dry. How we got taught 400 people? And now, to blow my mind, he said, the reason I give number is because if I don't, we can't control it. I said, wait. I began to pray for him. I say, oh, this man doesn't want to embarrass himself. It will not be right. Why? The atmosphere is dry. You just came. And when he said, thank you, Jesus. Now, people were just dropping. People were dropping. What is this? I was amazed. And now they realize there's a difference between the anointing you feel that moves in the meeting and a man who has a scepter. Encounters make it happen. And in the same way, if he says, go, it's well. Just begin to thank God. It is well. It doesn't need a ritual to say, in the name of Jesus, bring this oil and pour a whole oil. No, it doesn't need a whole bottle of oil for it to be well. When he says it is well, the jealousy of God is invested upon him because he has passed the encounter of service. He has become a king. He has become a king. He has become a king. He can change things by his word. Where the word of the king is, there is power. Unless they don't talk. When they talk, things happen. Things happen. The second thing that happens to you is that you become a priest. Priesthood, not in the sense of the rituals. Priesthood in the sense that the realm of God is perpetually open to you. You know, in the Old Testament, only priests could approach God. No one had the right to approach the Lord because you can't even find it. The glory of the Lord is locked up in the Holy of Holies. The Shekinah comes there once in a while. Only the high priest can get there. But you see, in the new birth, we now have access to God. Now, when we are growing in these things, God is in us. But we may not always interact with him because we are not sensitive to him. We are not pliable in his hands. We are not obedient to him. So once in a while, we'll be mingling with his reality. A point comes when, having grown in encounters, God will become evidently around your life 24/7. You don't need a prayer to carry the presence of God. When you meet such men, even while they are at home, there is an atmosphere they carry. Because they have truly become priests. Those are the real priests. Because the atmosphere of heaven dwells with them here. That's what Jesus meant when he said, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. When you are growing in these things, your priesthood may be a function of your rod of prayer. But a point comes when you grow. There are three things about the secret place, quickly. The first thing about the secret place is that God, the atmosphere of God can come
and overshadow your praying altar. Now, the secret place is not a closed room. The secret place is actually the overshadowing of the glory of God on a man's prayer altar. When the glory of God descends in a place, the place becomes a secret place. So what makes a place a secret place is not because it is locked. It's because the glory of God dwells there. That's why I say, him that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall what? Come under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 91 verse 1. So it is the overshadowing of the Almighty that makes a place a secret place. So you can go to your room and lock it. It's not a secret place. If the presence of God doesn't descend there, it's not yet a secret place. You will take time to build it. You may build it for 3 weeks, for 6 months, for 1 year. But a point comes when God begins to overshadow it. Then it becomes a secret place. The second thing about the secret place is that it's a location in Christ Jesus. A location in Christ that you have access to. So when you are praying, you enter the prophetic realm. You enter the realm of mercy. You enter the realm of prayer, because all of these things are locations in Christ. That's why I said God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So there are places in Christ Jesus. Those places are secret places because they are sacred. Not everybody can access them. So when you start building your altar, a point comes when those places in Christ Jesus begin to open to you. So you begin to enter those places. So there are certain men that have entered the prophetic place in Christ. So why somebody else have a need, he meets an intercessor and he goes to pray. He will need to pray for the problem to be revealed, and then he will have authority to address it, because he is still at the level of the overshadowing. So the shadow of the Almighty will come so that he will have the answers to the problem and have the authority to address it. There is somebody else that is walking in the place where that shadow brought. So he doesn't need to go and kneel down. He will meet you and say, sir, you are seeking the fruit of the womb. In the name, ma, you are seeking the fruit of the womb. In the name of the Lord Jesus, it is done. And he will go and conceive. That man is walking at a higher realm of the secret place. He walks in a place in Christ Jesus. So even when he's not praying, that place will be a law over him. So there are things he can't think. There is a way he lives his life. That man now is not in the state of prayer when he goes to kneel down. Even when he's in the office, he's sensitive. Because what happens to him when he goes to pray now works with him. So that man is not in the secret place when he's in a room praying. Even when he's in the office, the same fear, conviction, and reverence that you have for God when you go to kneel down to pray, he carries it to the office. He carries it everywhere, because he is living in a place in Christ Jesus. And that place is a law. It is regulated by the law of that place. If he thinks an evil thought, he will be judged. That's the second thing about the secret place. The third thing about the secret place is that you have become one with Christ. Because the secret place is a person. It's actually not a place, it's a person. So a point comes when you become one with Christ. You will know as you are known. You are in him, he is in you. You are one with him. And when you are one with him, everywhere you are, God is there in full expression. Those are the kinds of men I'm talking about. They are priests. So everywhere they come to, they come with the glory of God. Have you not noticed? For some of us who are preachers, we know. Sometimes you are ministering, and the person sitting in front of you carries more glory that you lose utterance. If he wants to help you, he will be encouraging you. So when you speak, he will. Is so that you are encouraged. You will now know that he's being blessed. And then the third thing is that you become a son. A son is different from a child. A child is one who is born again. A son is one who has beheld the image of the Father and have been changed into that image. You can have eternal life, but you can't manifest God's image because you've not beheld. And then the fourth thing is that you become a God. And he said to Moses, I have made you a God unto Pharaoh. Ye are gods because you are the children of the Most High. A point comes when encounters will make you literally become a God to your generation.
These are four things that encounters do to us. It makes us kings. It makes us priests. It makes us sons. And it makes us gods. If we amount to those four levels in the spirit, then we have attained the state of the perfect man. The goal of God is to make a perfect man. And the perfect man is the man that is exactly like his God. Bow your heads, let's pray. For some of us this morning, we will pray for the encounters that impact the grace for service. Because we are literally not doing anything for God and we are not interested. And some of us are doing, though we are struggling with them. You ask God for the grace for service. Because that's where the transition begins from. It's so hard for us when we are called to service. Especially when there is no gain tied to it. And then some of us, we ask God for encounters. Encounters that will bring us to the realms of authority. To walk in our kingship because we are kings. Encounters that will bring us to the realm of priesthood. To walk in our priesthood because we are priests. Encounters that will bring us to the realm of sonship. To walk in our sonship because we are sons. Some of us have been children for too long. We need to grow up and become sons. And then finally, encounters that will make us gods. Because he has made us in his image and in his likeness.
You were blessed by the message you just listened to and wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior. Kindly repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email on amodiscipleship@gmail.com or reach us on our website orocomichael.com to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege to disciple you. God bless you.